Hello, and thanks for tuning into the Cobra Yogi Podcast. This is your host, Julie Zuzak.
Now, this pod is your dedicated time for growth, for developing practical tools to use with your team and with your other relationships, and to learning deeply about who you are and what makes you tick. Because you, my friend, are a brilliant and powerful being, and I want you to invest more time reflecting on who you are being, not just what you are doing. Doing is awesome, don't get me wrong, but being, well, that's where the magic happens, and that's where you truly feel fulfilled. So you're going to love this episode on microcultures. I think for many of you, it's going to be a brand new concept that you're going to come into and start to learn about today, and discovering whether or not you have a microculture and whether you want one or not. So here's a look at what we're going to learn today. In the first segment, I will explain why you would build one and what it actually is. Then in the second segment, I'll explain the advantages of building one. In the third segment, I want to make a note about loyalty. And then in the last segment, I want to explain how to build one. So get out of your head, into your heart, and let's dive right in, shall we? Okay, welcome to segment one. Now, I think the best way of describing a microculture is explaining why you might want to build one. Have you ever felt like you didn't belong to the rest of your organization? Maybe you felt like a black sheep, or you felt like the rebel. Maybe you felt like you were the one person who was constantly viewing things through a different lens, seeing things differently. Now, these feelings of not belonging, they may have led you to define your own team brand, your own core values, your own purpose, and your own vision that feels different from what your boss is doing and the greater company at large. Now, this could have been caused by many different reasons. It could be that your boss didn't respect or appreciate you or the work that you and your team does, or vice versa. It could be because you don't feel like you are respected by the rest of them. It could be because you feel like you value and you appreciate things that aren't really important to them, or that they've taken action that you don't really respect or stand for or wouldn't do on your own. Either way, over time, your team and yourself have had to erode what you believe in order to survive or thrive in the organization or company that you work in. And this means that you might have developed your own code of conduct, and you no longer want to be dictated by the typical company culture and be stuck with the values and the purpose that they have that don't align with you and your team and what you believe in. This is building a microculture, and it serves two purposes. First, you're responding to the fact that you don't agree with what they're pushing as culture. And second, it means that you are organically creating something that fits more with you and your team, or is an extension of what you believe in. That might be a better way to say it. It motivates you more. It builds more trust and more loyalty. A microculture can be created either intentionally or unintentionally, and allows a group of people to operate in a cohesive way and create the type of environment that allows them to thrive, to be the best version of themselves, to contribute to creating the most fulfilling environment to do the rest work. Whereas when you're in the main company culture, you may find it difficult to attract an employee or retain an employee. In a microculture, you create an environment that allows them to thrive, to do their own things, to be the best version of themselves, which results in you establishing a very loyal and a very hardworking environment. In many instances, a microculture is established by a loyal and hardworking team, a team that is disenchanted with the greater company at large, thereby creating an environment where a microculture retains them and makes them stick around and want to invest their time into what you are creating with the company. So another scenario where a microculture may be created is through a merger or an acquisition. So I personally had this experience years ago when we were acquired by a large corporation. I remember the day when the announcement was made and the CEO had the nerve, the CEO of the acquiring company that was buying us, he had the nerve to come over in his three-piece pinstripe suit, stand in front of all of us and said, "We're so excited to be joining forces with you. Our two cultures are exactly the same." And for an organization like ours that was a small startup that was, you know, less than 200 people, you couldn't have found any way in the world to insult us further than that, saying that you as a 5,000 plus, you know, globally traded organization is just like this scrappy little do anything you can, do whatever it takes company. It was like a punch in the gut, slap in the face, call it whatever you want to. It was really insulting that he would compare his organization to what we created. Now, I guess there's lots of different perspectives to look at this. You could say he wanted to be like us. You could say he actually truly thought he was like us. I just don't see how that's possible. But anyways, we were, long story short, we were all incredibly insulted when he stood up there and told us that we had the same cultures, because we had a, you know, work from home policy. This is going on almost 20 years ago. And he did a 9 o'clock a.m. walk around to make sure that everyone was at their desk for their core working hours. He also did one again at 5 o'clock. And so we were, by essence, not intentionally, we were really creating a microculture because we wanted to keep our company alive, this like scrappy startup, like really innovative. I mean, that's why they purchased us, right? Because we created something that was so unique. And, you know, that's a collection of all the people that had worked there. So we were essentially creating a microculture. So it wasn't a department within an organization. It was really we were operating like a subsidiary within this larger organization. And we held on to that as long as we could. And eventually they just consumed us. All right, so that wraps up segment one on explaining exactly what a microculture is. So I promised to share some of the advantages of building a microculture, and here they are. It helps you to build loyalty as a leader. You've likely heard the saying that people don't leave companies, they leave bad managers. Well, I also believe that the opposite is true, that people are extra loyal to good managers. So another advantage of a microculture is that you avoid a lot of time wasting shielding your employees from the bad politics of the greater organization. You are able to give them a vision and a purpose to direct their energy to instead. I always feel bad for people managers who are constantly having to give out great leadership and great guidance, but they're not receiving the same thing on the other side from their boss. So imagine having to go to your 9 o'clock meeting with your manager, being yelled at, what we call seagull management, right? When someone comes in, swoops in, craps all over everybody, squawks, makes a bunch of noise, ruffles all the feathers, and then just disappears and leaves everything a big old mess. We like to call that seagull management. So you go to your weekly management meeting with your boss. You have your seagull manager moments that they like to exhibit and throw their power and their weight around. That's your 9 o'clock meeting. Then you get yelled at. You get disempowered by your manager in this meeting. Then you have to turn around, dust yourself off for your 10 o'clock meeting and shift gears back to spend time with your team and be that regular, motivational, inspirational leader who listens to their problems, who tells them everything's going to be okay, and that must be really, really hard to have to shift gears and go back to being the great leader that you truly are. So you're like constantly shifting back and forth, and it must be crazy making. And I always feel bad for leaders who have to go through that. It's hard, right? It's frustrating to be in an environment like that. So here are some other advantages that you might experience. You draw in the great talent, and also you get to keep the great talent too. It's kind of like being the cool team in town, that one that everyone wants to be a part of. It gives you great hope and a stronger sense of control over the people you are grooming, the products you are delivering, and the work that you're producing. You are largely insulated from the toxic behaviors that, you know, permeate the rest of the organization. And you really get to do something that you are proud of in this microculture that you're building. Okay, so that wraps up segment number 2 and all of the advantages of building a microculture. And P.S., I hope that you are not working for a seagull manager right now. Okay, diving into segment 3 here, talking about loyalty, which some of you might have on the brain and maybe you've been thinking about. Are you wondering if building a microculture might be more destructive than helpful to the greater company? Because, you know, rather than abiding to the main cultural norms, the core values that, you know, are put on the front lobby of the organization, rowing in the same direction as everyone else and towing the company line, you're actually putting your energy into building something else. And this isn't what we were taught in business school, was it? We were taught we had to tow the company line, that we had to abide by the general rules and act like a team of obeying robots. Well, I need you to start to see this as a conditioned thought, one that makes up the belief that a single culture is advantageous for us. There's a perspective that makes us believe that a single culture is advantageous. And it is just a perspective. There are many different ways to run a company. Here's a different perspective from Simon Sinek, someone who I do truly believe has some really innovative ways of looking at building businesses, feeling fulfilled, great leadership. And he is the famous author of Start With Why, and he is famous for his work on finding purpose. So his latest book, Find Your Why, is something that really helped me to see microcultures in a whole new way. This perspective is taken from his book, where he talks about individual departments in a company doing their own why discovery sessions, which is really just taking an afternoon to figure out what their why is within the larger organization. So he says that the great thing about a why discovery for a subgroup or a microculture is that it can influence the whole organization to want to find its why. When a single division starts to think and communicate based on its why, good things happen. Performance tends to improve, innovation tends to rise, employee turnover tends to decline. Senior managers then notices these developments, employees in other divisions notice as well, because the people in the Y group tend to enjoy coming to work more than before. After Simon did a tribe-wide discovery for one small team at a company he was working for, the phone started ringing in other areas of the company, and people started asking if there were any positions available on that team. In that way, the tail can wag the dog, and a small group of inspired and engaged employees can have a positive impact on the entire organization. Now let's pause here. And I want to make sure that you caught that last sentence, because that's the most important part. I'm going to read it again. This is the direct quote from Simon. In that way, the tail can wag the dog. A small group of inspired and engaged employees can have a positive impact on the entire organization. That's the power of microcultures. Okay, stopping the pause. So you can see that what he created was in this time investing in a certain part of the organization, and everyone else started to take notice, and people started to want to be on that new team. So you can see a company can really benefit from having many different microcultures, and it can impact the whole company at large and bring this fresh perspective that inspires them and enriches them. Okay, so that is a wrap on segment number 3. So after listening to my description and my stories, are you inspired to actually start thinking about building a microculture with your team? Well, I wish I had a 5-step process that you could follow to build one, but unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. It's not that easy. They're more organic. So here's a list of distinguishing factors for a microculture. 1, functioning as a system. Participants often function like a system, which is a group of collective people working towards a common identity or purpose. And it's a connection at a really deep level. 2, holding a shared purpose. Participants feel like they are part of something that is greater than themselves. 3, sharing power. There's often shared power and less reliance on hierarchy. So your team members want to feel like they have a say in all matters, and you definitely want to hear what they think and you want their perspective. So you encourage them to get involved in things. And then 4, a collective pride of ownership. There is a clear pride of ownership for the work that you all do, and it is a direct reflection of the team. So are you inspired by that list of distinguishing factors for building a microculture? There's 4 items there. I'll recap them in a minute here, but I've also had a distinct experience of working with clients who have built microcultures. And I thought it might be helpful for you to hear a few of their experiences so you can get a sense of what it looks like in real time. So firstly, there's Simon. Now, Simon works in finance, and he has a very unique group of specially trained employees. You need like a really unique combination of education and experience. So for years, he struggled to retain talent, because as a team, he just never felt like people fit into the mainstream culture of the organization. And this made it hard for him to draw in new talent and also keep new talent. It felt like they were impacted by the productivity of the rest of the company at large. And every time they had an innovative idea and they wanted to do something cool, they felt like it was being shot down by the killjoys of the rest of the organization. So morale on his team deteriorated. He felt like he was burning out from constantly trying to motivate everyone, constantly trying to staff the team and keep their spirits up. They created this microculture that was really an extension of who they were and what their identity was. And he found his life got easier, his team got more productive, and everything worked out in a more positive way. I'd also like you to meet Claire. Both her and her team felt disrespected by their senior leadership team. Did they care what we're really doing? Are they even watching? Do they know whether we'd be here or not? Do they even know what we do? Over the course of a 6-month engagement that I had with Claire, we did many exercises and offsites with her and her team to give them hope, and it worked. Although the team was more productive, that's great. They were actually happier and they felt like they had a clear vision. And so their work was more impactful for them. So Claire's patience and positivity was now able to help her create an environment where her team actually got what they wanted. And now they're thriving. Okay, so let's recap those 4 distinguishing factors of a microculture. 1, serving as a system. 2, holding a shared purpose. 3, sharing power. 4, a collective pride of ownership. Okay, it's time to wrap up this episode on building a microculture. As always, if you're inspired by the content today, please share this episode with a friend, a colleague, or on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on my website at thecorporateyogi.com. And you can also book a time to chat directly with me in my booking tool. And you can do this either on LinkedIn, or you can find the booking tool through my Instagram account, The Corporate Yogi. And remember, as always, any fear or resistance that you hold inside of you is simply just your greatness in disguise.